Today we're building a HeatWave style Ableton Lev 12 sampler rack blueprint for heavyweight sub impact, with that old school jungle and darker DNB flavor. And just to be clear, this is not about making a generic huge bass. We're designing a playable low-end system that feels tight, physical, and musical in the drop. In drum and bass, the bass has to live with the drums, not against them. That kick and snare relationship is everything. If your sub is too long, too wide, or too lazy, the track loses punch. If it's too clean and too polite, it disappears the moment the break gets busy. So the idea here is to build something that can survive a full arrangement and still hit hard on a club system. The rack is going to have three layers. First, the sub core. This is the foundation. Use operator or wave eatable and keep it simple. A sine wave or something very close to it is the move here. We want a mono, disciplined low end that gives us the fundamental without extra mess. Second, the attack layer. This is where the bass gets definition. We'll use simpler and load in a short resampled click, bass pluck, or a chopped bit of an existing bass sound. This layer is not there to be loud. It's there to tell the ear where the note lands, especially when the breakbeat is moving fast. Third, the grit or harmonic layer. This is where the HeatWave character comes in. You can use Roar if you're on Live 12 and want that modern heavier tone, or Saturator if you want a simpler setup. This layer gives you edge, presence, and that slightly burnt mid-range that helps the bass cut through drums, reverb tails, and all the other energy in a jungle arrangement. Let's start with the sub. On the sub chain, load operator. Turn everything off except oscillator A, and set it to a sine. Keep the amp envelope tight. Attack should be basically instant, maybe a tiny few milliseconds if needed. Decay should be short enough to give you impact, but not so short that the note vanishes. Think around 120 to 250 milliseconds as a starting point, depending on the groove. Release should be short too, just enough to avoid clicks. The key idea here is that the sub should feel like a drum element, not a held pad. In DNB, note length is part of the groove. It's not just about pitch. After operator, at EQ8, only clean up what needs cleaning. If there's rumble below the useful range, trim it gently around 20 to 25 Hz. If there's some weird low-mid buildup, maybe make a small cut around 120 to 180 Hz. Don't overdo this. The sub should stay intact. Then put utility at the end of the chain and set the width to zero. This is important. The low end must stay mono-compatible. Also trim the gain so the rack isn't slamming the master before the rest of the track even has a chance to breathe. Now the attack layer. Load simpler on the second chain and drop in a short sample. This could be a re-recorded bass transient, a filtered oscillator hit, a little click, or even a chopped bit from your own bass tail. Set simpler to classic or one shot depending on the source. Trim the start so it hits right on the transient. Keep the fade super short, just enough to avoid clicks. Then add auto filter after simpler. If the sample is too bright, low pass it. If you want a more focused mid punch, try a band pass. The purpose of this layer is to give the bass a little punctuation. Jungle bass often behaves like a statement, not a long melody. It says, I'm here and gets out of the way. Now the grit layer. Use roar if you want the more aggressive, modern flavor. Use saturator if you want a faster, cleaner route. Start with moderate drive. Not too much. You want the bass to read on small speakers and still feel heavy, but you don't want it buzzing like a broken speaker. If you're using roar, keep the mix modest at first, maybe somewhere in the 10 to 35% zone. If you're using saturator, try a few dB of drive and turn soft clip on. Then follow it with EQ8 and high pass the grit layer somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz so it doesn't interfere with a sub. If it gets nasal or harsh, clean up the mid-range a bit. The goal is edge, not fuzz for its own sake. This is the part that makes the patch feel like a dub plate instead of a clean synth preset. That little bit of harmonic burn is what keeps the bass audible behind chopped breaks, rides, and reverb. Now let's make it performable. Map 4 macros, sub decay, heat amount, drive, and air or bite. Sub decay should control the length of the sub envelope, but only in a narrow range. You want movement, not chaos. Heat amount should blend the attack layer in and out, and maybe move the filter a little too. Drive should control your saturation amount. Air or bite should open the top layer just enough to add note definition without turning it thin or scratchy. The important thing is to map these musically. Don't make the macro ranges too extreme. In DNB, small changes can sound massive. A tiny bit more drive before a snare fill can make the whole drop feel like it just stepped forward. Now we need to write the bass around the drums. This is where a lot of people get it wrong. They design a nice sound, then write a phrase that ignores the kick and snare. In drum and bass, the groove comes from interlocking with the drums, so start with a simple 2-bar pattern. Put the bass on offbeats, leave room for the kick transient, answer the snare, don't step on it. Use short notes, use one slightly longer note every 4 or 8 bars as a phrase anchor, and if you want tension, add a tiny pickup note before the snare or before the loop resets. Think of it like call and response. The drums speak, then the bass replies. That's a huge part of the old school jungle feeling. It's not just low end, it's conversation. Next, we need to control the dynamics with sidechain and cleanup. Put a compressor after the rack or on a bass bus and sidechain it from the kick or a ghost kick. Keep the ratio moderate, maybe 2:1 to 4:1. Attack should be fairly quick, but not so fast that it kills the note. Release should groove with the track. We want the bass to duck subtly so the kick gets its space. Also check the kick and sub together. If they're fighting at the same fundamental frequency, one of them needs to shift. You can tune the kick, move the bass notes, or clean up the EQ. The point is separation without losing power. If the attack layer feels too sharp, shorten it with the envelope or trim it with the filter. Fast drum programming needs tight bass programming. Otherwise, the low end smears and you lose that classic roller discipline. Now comes the fun part, resampling. Once the rack is feeling right, record 8 to 16 bars of it responding to your drums and automation. Then drag that audio into a new track and slice it. This is where the patch turns into something with real character. You can pull out reverse tails, stutters, phrase endings, ghost notes, and weird little accidents that sound better than the original synth version. That's very jungle friendly. A lot of the best feeling bass lines are not the raw synth patch. They're the resampled version, because the resample captures the tiny inconsistencies and movement that make it feel alive. For arrangement, think in sections. In the intro, keep the bass filtered and reduced. Let the drums and atmosphere set the scene. In the first drop, bring in the full rack, but keep the notes controlled. In the second half of the drop, automate a little more drive or bite to build intensity. In the breakdown, strip it back to sub-fragments or filtered tops. Then in the second drop, bring the full patch back with a different rhythm, an octave change, or a glide variation. A strong jungle or DNB arrangement usually benefits from clear contrast. 16-bar intro, 16-bar drop, an 8-bar switch up, another 16-bar section with more aggression, then a DJ-friendly outro. You want the bass to feel like part of the arrangement, not just a loop sitting on top. A few advanced moves can really level this up. One is making a duplicate rack version with different decay and drive ranges. Use one for the main drop and one for fills or switch-ups. That saves you from over-automating one preset into chaos. Another is using velocity as a groove tool. Even if the sub stays consistent, you can make the attack or grit layers respond more on some notes than others. That gives the phrase more human feel. You can also create a question and answer system. Make one version of the bass short and dry, and another version slightly longer with more drive or a glide into the root. Alternate them every 2 or 4 bars. That can make the drop feel like it's actually speaking back to the drums. For an old-school jungle touch, try one quick bend or glide into the root at the end of an 8-bar cycle. That tiny gesture can make the whole phrase feel more alive. Now, a quick reminder about the mindset here. Think in low-end envelopes, not just patches. In jungle and DNB, the bass is part of the drum arrangement. If the kick pattern changes, revisit the bass lengths first before you start changing tone. Often the fix is in note duration, not in more saturation, and test it at low volume early. If the bass only feels huge when it's loud, it probably needs more harmonic support, or the note lengths are too broad. If it still reads quietly, that's a very good sign. Here's a great practice exercise. Make 3 versions of the same 2-bar bass phrase. Version 1 should be clean roller style, with mostly sub and very little heat. Keep it simple and disciplined. Version 2 should lean more into jungle bite. Add more attack, shorten the sub a bit, and maybe insert a glide or pickup note before bar 2. Version 3 should be the heavy drop version. Add moderate drive, open the heat a little in the second half of the phrase, then resample 4 bars and slice a fill from it. Then test all 3 against a chopped breakbeat, a straight 2-step kick snare grid, and a halftime tension section. Listen for the drum and bass conversation. Which version supports the drums best without losing sub authority? That's the real goal here. To recap, build the rack as 3 layers: sub, attack, and grit. Keep the sub mono, short, and controlled. Use the attack layer for note definition and clarity. Use saturation or roar for harmonic presence, but high pass the grit. Map your macros so the rack can perform musically. Write the bass to interlock with the drums. And once it feels right, resample it so you can turn function into character. In DNB, the magic is in note length, harmonic balance, and arrangement spacing. Get those right, and your bass won't just sound heavy. It'll feel like it belongs in the track.